What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock, and today we're going to talk about the Miami Marlins. All right, so this team has lost a lot of their starters. They traded away Edward Cabrera. They traded away Ryan Weathers. They still have two main guys at the top, but then we don't really know who is going to fill out that rotation. There are some very interesting arms. You might not believe it, but there are some, especially in the prospect realm. And we'll talk about all of those. But before, we got to talk about the one and only Sandy Alcantara. And if you know me and Pitcher List, I have been a huge Sandy Alcantara fan since 2020. And he had that amazing Cy Young season in 2022. And we haven't quite seen him hit that level again. Now, last year, in his first full season back from Tommy John, let me tell you, it was a full season. The Marlins just did not care about him coming back from Tommy John as we thought they would. He let him just go throughout the year, pitch deep into games. Our assumption is that what the Marlins would do is trade him away in the offseason because they didn't care of the ramifications of pitching as deep, but he's still here. And keep in mind that you likely will see Sandy on another team in the second half of the year. But in the first half, he's still here on the Marlins. And what we saw in the final 2 months of the season was a better four-seamer and a better changeup. In 2023, the last time that Sandy had a successful season, because 24, we all know, was not very good, Tommy John, and then last year was only good for those last 2 months. What Sandy does when he's cooking is he has a four-seamer that earns a lot of whiffs. Back then, it was like 18% swing strike rate to right-handers. He gets sinkers inside to right-handers, and then he has a changeup underneath it, and there's also a slider that misses bats. And what we saw last year was an effective sinker, but it wasn't quite as inside. His four-seamer was more erratic. It wasn't tight in at the top of the zone, right? In a nice, tighter, denser range. And the swing strike rates went way down. Also, the changeup feel wasn't consistent either. And what we saw in those final 2 months was the changeup becoming more of the arsenal, which then made it comfortable for him to throw the four-seamer and get whiffs, which jumped up to just from sub 10% to like 13-14% swing strike rate, and that really propelled him forward. He still needs to do a little bit better on getting the sinker inside to righties, and this breaking stuff, the slider, and also the new curveball, not as good as peak slider that we saw before, but there is a lot of encouragement here, right? There is a lot of hope that Sandy is more like those final 2 months than he was in the previous 4 months. In addition, he had Xavier Edwards at short before, and he got moved to second base. Otto Lopez, a much better defender at short. And for a guy like Sandy who gets a ton of ground balls, that helps a lot. So as this offseason has gone on, I've been more and more inclined to draft Sandy again, which is weird because you think of me as like the Sandy guy, but I'm very honest about it. I was very cautious, and I find that I'm putting him around my top 35 or so now because I do believe that the four-seamer and the changeup will be effective for longer than it was in 2025. Eury Pérez is the new hot stuff in Miami, right? He has this absurd four-seamer that has velocity, it has vert, it has a flat attack angle. It is inherently one of the better fastballs around. The problem? He just throws it down the middle. He does not get this pitch upstairs, and boy, does he need to. Because against lefties in particular, there really isn't much else. Eury Pérez does get some whiffs on that slider, but not nearly as many as he used to get before Tommy John, as he came back last year midway through the season. And I really don't know if I should buy that Eury Pérez is going to get the four-seamer upstairs as it needs to. Now, against right-handers, it's fine. He'll just throw those a lot, and he has a slider, and he has a curveball, and he should have a sinker. He gets over 17 inches of horizontal on it, and that would just make things better. I'm kind of curious as to why he doesn't, but that should all work. The real question is left-handers, where Eury really struggled last year because he wasn't able to get it upstairs. There were so many bats that just labored on as guys who just fell on fastball after fastball, and the slider as a backdoor pitch didn't really work. The curveball underneath, no. But what about a changeup? Oh, let me tell you, he tried. He really did. And this changeup, believe it or not, had a sub 30% strike rate. Strike rate. Okay? Oh boy, you want to see double. And even then, it would be 58%. And we're like, can we get that to 62, 63? So when he does get it, if he does. I'm going to say when, because Urie really tried. And props to him. It was not working early on. I would just kind of laugh when I would see it because it would always just go straight in the dirt. It did have a good swing strike rate because 1 in 4 would actually be a strike and no one would expect it because it should be the four-seamer if it's anywhere near the zone, right? So hopefully it does become a better pitch for him over time, and he's really working on it clearly. But at the end of the day, like, if Eury Pérez can throw those high four-seamers, it's going to be great. If he can't, he's going to struggle a little bit more, and it's not clear. He hasn't had a full season in the bigs yet, though, right? He was limited in his first season due to Tommy John, and then he came back, and that was half of a season. If you're worried about injury after, do not be. One of the best things you can see for a pitcher in the next year is the fact that he came back halfway through and pitched half a season. We've seen this constantly from guys. Tarek Skubal did that. Cole Reagans, when he finally turned into a starter, had his breakout season the next year, right? After half of that season. It happens all the time. Corbin Burnes in 2020. It's just a very constant thing, and it's great for for rehab. Essentially, it's like the easiest way to ease back into it. So for that reason, I'm in on Eury Pérez. I'm not going to sit here and say that that is who he is. I have to give him some benefit of the doubt. But it is not as certain as many would like you to think it is, because I think as a whole, we're all overrating the command of that four-seamer. We have Max Meyer. You remember that guy? He was someone I was really into entering last year because it looked like his fastball was much better than it used to be. And it was. It was over 95. But what happened was that his hip was in pain because of it. To get that extra velocity, it was all lower half, remember? And I don't know if we're going to see that velocity again. And that four-seamer still actually was not good. However, against righties, Max Meyer had it down pat. The slider is unreal. It is one of the best sliders around, and he still actually didn't locate it correctly. But movement-wise, velocity-wise, essentially it's an 89-90 mile per hour slider that moves like an 86 mile per hour one. It has proper two-plane, like drop and horizontal. And normally when we see like an 89-90, it's like gyro, if not a little bit worse, right? So, and gyro means like dead center with not as much drop and not as much movement. Like Max Meyer's is insane. So I don't know what we're going to get, because you have to think the velocity is going to be lower. He clearly hurt himself pushing himself too hard. Maybe not. We're going to see in camp. And really, it's a situation of two guys that we know are going to be starting out of the gate. And then who are going to be the next three? So one contender is Max Meyer. And if he is starting, it might be a hipster situation. But the thing is, he actually was pitching well until he was clearly hurt, or he had that 14 strikeout game against the Reds. And then again, it was the Reds carpet. That is, the Reds are really bad away from Cincinnati. And then he just had five earned runs. It was just bad after that. So it's possible that he was hurt. Possible it wasn't working. They tried to do too much. I don't know. I am likely going to avoid it in my 12 teamers because he seems like a hipster, and I won't really know if you are going to be able to trust Max Meyer. Braxton Garrett exists. Braxton Garrett is coming back from Tommy John, or I believe maybe a UCL internal brace. Correct me if I'm wrong. I apologize. He didn't pitch last year. And Braxton Garrett has a cutter and a slider that are both really, really good. The slider is his bread and butter. A massive drop pitch. It is just so effective, lefties and righties. He also has this cutter that, when it's working, goes up and inside to right-handers so beautifully. And he throws it for strike 70% of the time, and he's just cruising with that. And then we see these moments where Braxton Garrett also has this changeup that's just beautifully spotted down away. That is the best Braxton Garrett. But Nick, you didn't mention his fastballs, right? He does not have a good fastball. He just doesn't. And that's the situation, right? So I don't know if Braxton Garrett's going to have his command of that cutter again, or changeup or slider. I don't know how much Braxton Garrett's going to be throwing his fastballs. When we saw him in 2024, briefly, I believe it was, it was roughly, I want to say like 24% fastballs. Not 24, I'm so sorry, 44%. And when he was doing well beforehand, it was more like 35%. And I kind of think it should be like 30%. I think against lefties, look, Braxton Garrett should be fine. Sinkers inside, sliders away. He should be fine with it. Maybe some cutters also you can throw that. It's a good pitch. Just sure get some strikes. But it's really against right-handers. Can you do the Ryan Yarbrough of just staying slow? And it's possible. It honestly is. Maybe just surprise heaters upstairs, or if you throw the two-seamer, make sure it's away and hopefully getting guys who are antsy for one. Kind of like the Jacob Lopez of not throwing your four-seamer in the zone, your fastball in the zone, then relying on the cutter to backdoor. That might work. So there might be some sneaky value here for Braxton Garrett. I would imagine if he is healthy, he's in the rotation. And you'll see in spring training, so definitely monitor this. Jansen Junk is part of a crew of four pitchers that all have one similarity. And it's a very interesting thing that the Marlins have done. I don't know if it's good, but the next four pitchers I'm going to say are all theoretically in contention for this last spot. That is assuming that Max Meyer and Braxton Garrett have the rotation spot. And we'll tell you all about it after this break. So Jansen Junk, what does he do? Well, he is a strike thrower. And he has a four-seamer, slider, sweeper, curveball. Like, when he's working, he's throwing this junk really well around the zone. They're not filthy, though. And his four-seamer is a high vert pitch, but he has a very high arm angle. And guess what? Bradley Blaylock, coming from the Rockies. He's a right-hander, and he sounds like he should be a left-hander. I know. He has a high vert four-seamer with a high arm angle. And then there's Adam Mazur, who the Marlins got in a trade, if you remember, I believe, with the Padres. And also Ryan Gusso, they picked up from the Astros. Both of those are higher vert four-seamers with high arm angles. And here's the thing. I would imagine this is a case of like the Marlins just taking a chance on these guys and whatever. They can pitch innings fine. I remember my confusion when I didn't really know about the relationship of arm angle and expected movement. That is, if you don't know it, the higher the arm angle, the more batters expect the ball to have vert, right? They're just used to it from where the ball is released to how the ball moves. There's just this general average of it, right? If you throw it lower, you're not going to expect it to move the same way than someone throwing over the top. But we didn't have good data on arm angles for a little bit. And all we would see would be the movement. So we would say these pitches had really good movement, but we don't understand why it's not doing as well as you'd expect. And I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to the Marlins that they're aware of that, like the relationship between arm angle and high vert. But it is interesting to see four of these guys. And Bradley Blaylock is a very interesting one because you're going to see like 18 inches of vert or 17, 18. And then you remember, wait a second, half of his games were in cores, which reduces vert by about 3 inches. If you just have that general rule, 3 inches less vert because of the air in Colorado, that means that it's 1.5 vert increase from his average. So that's actually like a really high one, like 18.5, 19-inch vert four-seamer from Blaylock. And then it's just kind of mediocrity with the rest. There's like a slider in there. There's Adam Mazur, who would be breaking the Wasker Inoue rule. If you don't know that, you have a really good slider and nothing else. That is Adam Mazur. But the vert you just said, yeah, it's not good. That arm angle does not make it good. Ryan Gusso, same kind of idea. There are moments where it does kind of work with him. We saw it with the Astros with everything else involved. But yeah, I don't think that any one of these four are of any actual value for fantasy teams. At least Jansen Junk will get an opportunity, or at least like when he pitches, I would imagine they let him go for as long as he wants. Same for like Bradley Blaylock. But I would not be targeting any of them. And I'll be honest with you, I hope none of them get a rotation spot, or at least only two of the last six guys that I mentioned. Braxton Garrett, Max Meyer, Jansen Junk, Bradley Blaylock, Adam Mazur, and Ryan Gusso get the rotation spot. Why? Because that would mean that one of their prospects gets a rotation spot as well, or they just go and sign someone else, which is very possible. I mean, the Marlins still have time to get like an NRI guy, like some rando who's still out on the waiver wire. Can't be Martin Perez anymore. But you understand what I mean of just your, oh gosh, who would it be? Your relative Jose Urania ad, right? So I hope not. And I hope it's Robbie Snelling. And you might have heard that name. There are really three major prospects for the Marlins. It's Robbie Snelling, Thomas White, and Noble Meyer. Robbie Snelling, to me, is the best one. He is the only one of the crew we're going to talk about. Thomas White, Noble Meyer, but also Dax Fulton And then there's one more. There's Carson Milbrandt. But Snelling is the only one who hasn't walked the farm. All the other ones have obvious control issues. Like Thomas White is, I think, the number one prospect technically. But last year, he had 51 walks in 90 minor league innings. And all I'm going to tell you is I generally don't go per nine stats. I go percentage stats that is based on batters faced. However, you just know for a fact that like three and under is what you want. You really want under three for a walk per nine. And if it's if half of the innings is lower than the number of walks, that is 90 minor league innings for Thomas White, half will be 45 walks. That'd be a 4.5 walk per nine. And he had 51. So it's worse than a 4.5 walk per nine. Okay. And what's even funnier is that Thomas White had two games in AAA. He debuted this past fall. He had 10 strikeouts in his debut with 6 walks. 7 strikeouts in the next one with 4 walks. That is a hipster. And he's 21. I really don't think that the Marlins would go for Thomas White. Then someone say like Robbie Snelling, as I mentioned. And he had 166 strikeouts to just 39 walks in 136 minor league innings. Oh, that's so much better. Thank you so much, Robbie Snelling. And look, if you want to do the quick numbers in your head, let's say he had 40 walks in 120 innings. That would be a 3 walk per nine. But it's better than that. Oh, man. Okay, so good. We got that out of the way. But is the stuff good? Yes. Robbie Snelling is a lefty who sits 94-95, and he has generally solid two-plane movement. It's not like the greatest. It's like 16 inches of vert, not the highest arm angle. Slightly above average flatness, which is good. And then you have about 9, 10 inches of horizontal as well. So that's actually pretty solid break. It's not like the most ever, but it's good. But then he has this. He has got a changeup to make him a proper swatch. An 83, 84 mile per hour slider that isn't a gyro. It actually gets like 5-6 inches extra depth to it, which is really nice. But what might be my favorite is not this 83, 84 mile per hour slider. No, it's 81, 82, maybe even 83 mile per hour curveball that is properly two plane. And I'll tell you this, I love like 83 mile per hour curveballs that move both with sweep and with dip, right? Those are always so filthy. They work well against either handedness, unlike a sweeper that lacks the depth to be good to opposite handed batters. So Snelling to me, yes, he is an instant add when he comes up, and there is a chance that the Marlins give him the opportunity out of camp. If I had to make a bet, I'd say no, that they don't, because why? Why would they start the clock? Do they really think they're going to win the Rookie of the Year with this? It's possible. Very possible. Connor Griffin exists, though, with the Pirates, but it's possible. I think that we're going to have to stash him, and I don't encourage stashing pitchers. I just think we've learned our lesson, essentially, with this one over the years. The only exception really has been Paul Skeens for stashing a pitcher and it paying dividends quickly. So I can't encourage it. There's always a new prospect. There's always someone else to pick up. However, if he does make the team out of camp, I'm 100% picking up Robbie Snelling. And the second he does, you pick him up. Dax Fulton is also in this mix. He's in AAA. He's 24. He's a very interesting one. Yes. Walks. Walks, 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 walks. Like all these guys have walks. But what he does is he throws these 93, 94 mile per hour four seamers that are really a cut four seamer. So it has like two horizontal break. And typically you see like 7 to 10 or even up to 12 or something. Or actually with a lot of lefties, if you're like Nick Lodolo or something, like you're a slinger and all of a sudden you get like 16, 17, right? So two is pretty much meaning that it's breaking that plane, like going over the y-axis line, going almost from positive to negative movement, right? And on top of that, I mean, he's got like no vert to it. It's just like almost like a cutter. He has this kind of sweeper looking curve that has extra depth to it. It's not quite two plane. It's not like on that diagonal. It's closer to being a sweep, but he loves this thing. And it works beautifully. It's an 83 mile per hour curve with good depth and sweep. And this is what works for him. And he has some kick changes in there. He does also have this gyro slider in between. He's really hard to hit. I apologize. It doesn't have that gyro slider, but he's incredibly hard to hit when he gets that cutter inside. And I see this working of like that cut four seamer inside, changeups away, and the curveball doing the rest. And yeah, he'll have that sinker inside of lefties. Like that could very well work. I just want him to not walk batters. Okay, Dax. So, I mean, there is promise there, but again, if I see prospects who are walking everybody and don't just have like 99 mile per hour velocity and like the dopest of dope breaking ball, I'm not interested. You really need to work that one out. Noble Meyer, as I mentioned before, is watching him more like an Aaron Nola type. He has more of a riding fastball that is horizontal than he does the high vert. And he doesn't really have the command and the control that you would want of an Aaron Nola type. He does have a slider that does get whiffs. Is a changeup that I've seen get whiffs against lefties. But yeah, 38 walks in 65 innings of A-plus ball last year. That just doesn't seem right to me. You know, he probably will get double A. I mean, maybe even right away. But for all the hype that I've heard of Noble Meyer, like, I know that name. I'm a little disappointed that that's all it was this last year. And I hope that Noble Meyer is something better next year and is really refining the control and is able to actually look like Aaron Nola and use a flat four seamer and then sinkers to come back and front hip on left-handers and has these big breaking balls and stuff. We'll see. We'll see how that works out for Noble Meyer, but right now for 2026 redrafts, I'm not interested. And last but not least is Carson Milbrandt. And he pitched in double A barely 10 frames last season. And he showcased that hipster lifestyle with a lot of strikeouts, 100 plus in 77 innings in single A, but also with 53 walks. What is it with these guys? Like he's 95-96 with 99 in the tank at times, which is really cool. And then he has that two plane, movement right-handed. So it's vert and, horizontal from a right-hander, which is cool. It can go up in the ineffective. It can go up in a way from lefties, and he has intent to go upstairs, which I will always like. He has these three secondaries with good movement. Like everything has extra horizontal to it as well, which is great, but it's inconsistent. Everything is inconsistent right now with Carson Milbrandt. We just hope to see him develop that consistency. I mean, that's really what it is. To be a baseball player, you have to do the same thing over and over and over again. And these guys are showcasing fun stuff in here. But you have to do it consistently. Also, I should mention Milbrandt. He doesn't have a secondary that is like upper 80s or higher. Everything is like 85 or lower. That's cutter, slider, curve, and that. I'm curious if there will be a bridge pitch in between and how he can refine his control over time. That is the Miami Marlins. And I just want to see Robbie Snelling pitching. Sandy Alcantara and Eury Pérez. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock. May your bat be low and strikeouts high.